This is a very tricky situation for Israel. Of course, when you're talking about the Gaza Strip and Hamas in the Gaza Strip, there cannot be an area in Gaza Strip that by definition all the time is going to be out of bounds, because obviously Hamas is going to shift its fighters, its infrastructure towards exactly that part in Gaza. So unfortunately, Rafah has to be dealt with sooner or later. However, unfortunately, also, Hamas now has the greatest concentration of Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip. They all fled there because first Israel was operating in the north, and then they moved to the south. Then they, took care of Khan Yunis, and now this really is the last part of Gaza where Israel had not yet had any sustained military operations. And so, of course, it is now the center of gravity for mass operations in the Gaza Strip. So it is unavoidable. But obviously, it is also clear that this is going to be a high-risk operation for the Israeli army when it comes to the number of Palestinian civilians. You saw this lucky liberation of two hostages near Rafah, and that was costing at least 67, Palestinian sources say more, 100 civilian lives to get this done. So this is going to be a traumatic but unavoidable event if the aim is to really break the backbone of Hamas in Gaza. There cannot be a safe zone for Hamas in Gaza. This will, of course, be gold for Hamas propaganda, who will attempt, as it done the whole time since October, to make maximum use of every Palestinian civilian that gets killed in order to ramp up its support. And we are regionally in an extremely tense situation. I mean, if you just do a little tour the horizon, we have the Northern Front, where 25,000 Israelis are not going home because Hezbollah keeps lobbing rockets and artillery grenades into Israel. We have the Houthis in Yemen firing at international ships. We have this fire between Iraqi and Syrian groups on US positions. So it's a very tense situation, and Rafah is not going to relax that situation, quite to the contrary.
Hans, you were the UN's coordinator for the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS monitoring group for years, and you know a thing or two about the mindset of terrorists. How is this situation in Gaza likely? And I say likely because you don't have a crystal ball, but how is this likely impacting sympathizers with Hamas and other terror groups in the region?
Oh, I mean, not only in the region, including in Europe and in the United States, this is a effect that will radicalize more people than would have radicalized otherwise. And of course, that also will drive recruitment. All groups have seen this, right? So the Islamic State never really talked about Palestinians or a Palestinian state. Now they do in their propaganda. They're trying to be freeloaders of this situation to drive their recruitment. And they have had the first success a couple of days ago in Istanbul, where they bombed a church. Same thing for Al-Qaeda. They're trying to take this as a recruitment drive. Hamas has been trying. Other groups have been trying. Hezbollah, of course, is doing major recruiting around in Lebanon, but also in Europe, getting sympathizers on its side. So, of course, as long as this is an active war, and as long as there is no sustainable solution found for this issue, this will remain a very, very, very potent aspect for recruitment and radicalization, unfortunately.
How is this likely to impact other parts of the region, other countries, the Middle East, North Africa, perhaps even, Southern Europe?
Well, I mean, this is the really $100 million question. I mean, everyone tries to avoid a regional war. The Iranian side is trying its very best to knead down exactly the path towards a regional war, despite what they officially say. They have not, in any measurable form, called back any of their proxies, whether in Iraq or in Syria or even the Houthis. And really, the Houthi issue makes it into a more than a regional issue. So Hamas is really primarily, first and foremost, a real security threat to Israel. We have had some Hamas attempts to attack in Europe, but it's not going to be a wave. They simply don't have the infrastructure. The Hezbollah, Iraq, Syria groups make this into a regional problem, but the Houthis, as we discussed before, this is now a global problem because it is affecting global supply chains. It has doubled the cost for containers. It has increased transport times for goods from and to China, especially when we're talking about Europe and Africa. So this is a quite dramatic situation. So one can only hope that this first stage, the military operation, is going to end sooner rather than later. But if I look at it from an Israeli military perspective, the infrastructure is weakened, but partially still intact. We still have rocket attacks on Israel, not every day, but every once in a while. Neither Sinwar nor Dave, the two key players of Hamas in Gaza Strip, have been apprehended or killed. So they simply haven't achieved their even the basic military aims yet.
So, if we look beyond the immediate area, the Middle East and of course the region there, how is this likely, or is it possible that it could strengthen, the ambitions of an Al-Qaeda or an ISIS or any terror group beyond that region? Say, for instance, here in the United States or Canada, Europe.
Oh no, it's a major pressure, especially on those two networks. I mean, terrorism only works if you get spoken about. And neither Al-Qaeda nor the Islamic State have featured anywhere near the news agenda for the last 5 months since October. Hardly anyone realized how many times European services arrested ISKP members. This attack in Istanbul, which is a really ominous sign by the Islamic State Khorasan province out of Afghanistan, hardly made any news stories. For those terror organizations, it's on the one hand a time where they can recruit sympathizers. On the other hand, they really have to demonstrate that they still are an ongoing concern with the global reach. So the pressure is enormous to do something that brings you back to the headlines. You cannot let Hamas dominate the news agenda forever if you are Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. Absolutely, yes. I mean, this is something where, at least in Europe, we've had multiple arrests so far of attempted attacks, and it's very clear that the Islamic State in particular tries its very best to bring about an attack that brings it back to the top of the news agenda.
One more thing, Hans. You spend a lot of time monitoring social media and seeing what terror groups are doing and getting away with on social media. Are they utilizing this right now, this platform? And I say they, I'm talking specifically about the terror groups that are active in this conflict in the Middle East right now between Israel and Hamas, or any of the others.
All of them. I mean, there is no terror group of note, whether it's ISIL and its affiliates, or Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, or extremist groups like the Taliban, or Hamas, or Hezbollah, or any of the Iraqi groups that does not use social media. This is the main communications tool. This is the main tool through which they inform their sympathizers, try to radicalize people, try to recruit people, try to organize financial drives, donation drives. This is the main tool with which they coordinate between each other. So there is no terror organization that is of any significant size that does not continue to use social media, including the global platforms. We at CEP continue to point out how permissive this social media environment is for all sorts of terrorist and extremist organizations, from extreme right-wing groups to all the way down to Islamist terrorists. The companies are not doing what they could do. They are not cleaning their platforms of this content. They got a little bit better, but not in a sustained or strategic way.